upon the beach, but what held the boy's eyes in awful trance were the figures springing and leaping about the flames, darting, shifting, bounding toward the sky. The eaters of men. Cannibals. Firelight glistened on their oiled bodies, on flashing spears and bristling decorations. Mafatu watched the strange scene, powerless to move, and he felt doom itself breathing chill upon his neck. In that very instant, he heard a crashing in the undergrowth. Four figures were tearing toward him through the jungle. He could see them now. He turned and ran blindly down the trail, slipping, sliding, stumbling, his breath all but choking in his throat. Only one thought gave him courage as he ran. His canoe ready, waiting. If only he could reach it before the savages overtook him. Explore new worlds. Find out what happens next by reading the book Call It Courage by Armstrong Sperry. For other great book ideas, visit literacy.gov. A message from the Library of Congress and the Ad Council.
The Internet is a wonderful resource for kids. But in times like these, the Internet can also increase your child's risk of being a victim of crime. Instruct your child to never give out personal information, like their name, address, or school name, without your approval. Teach them about frauds and scams that often appear as friendly emails or offers that are too good to be true. Place your computer where you can see what your child is doing. Use software that prevents access to inappropriate sites and chat rooms. Teach your child what to do if they come across such sites or receive solicitations from strangers. Learn how they're using the Internet and how much time they're spending on it. Let's keep our kids as safe in the cyber world as we try to do in the real one. Visit ncpc.org to learn more about how we can protect our children. That's ncpc.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Justice, National Crime Prevention Council, and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from the WeatherEye Weather Center.
For today, we'll have mostly cloudy skies with a chance for showers and storms. High temperatures working up into the mid-50s. And for tonight, more showers and storms likely, a low of 43. Into your Wednesday, a lingering chance for some showers there with upper 50s for highs. And for your Thursday, a chance for some showers, especially through midday, or back into the lower part of the 60s. From the Weatherology Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Michael Caro.
Thanks a lot, Michael. It is 45 in Stevens Point, 47 in Marshfield, Wausau, and here in Wisconsin Rapids.
Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine, presented by Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Plumbing. It's time for part two.
Welcome back, everyone, to Morning Magazine for this April 27th, 2021. Your host, James J. Mayloff, here, and we are joined right now by our friend Jess from the Wisconsin Rapids Family Center. Good morning, Jess.
Hi, James. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for being with us. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing good. Doing good. Thanks for asking. And how is everybody over at the Family Center? How are all of our friends over there?
They are good. Busy as usual, but everything's going well.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I'm glad you bring that up, Jess, because I know how busy you guys are over there. That's why we appreciate the time so very much when we're able to talk with you. And today, we're going to get into a topic that I think is one of the more grayer areas for a lot of people, and I can't thank you enough for taking the time to get into this. And our main topic today is about consent, right?
Yes, it is.
See, there, we just practiced. I just asked if that's the topic, and you said yes. No, I'm trying to find a light moment here. But it is an important topic, and one that I think that we're talking to the right person for. Where do you want to start with this, Jess?
Well, so I do want to say that April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month, so we are wrapping up that month, and you've interviewed a couple of different staff members on different topics regarding sexual assault, so thank you so much for giving us that opportunity. But I know that consent is something that is uncomfortable for people to talk about. You know, in our society, it's a very hush-hush topic to talk about sex and those sort of things. So I understand that some viewers might be uncomfortable, but I can't stress how important these conversations are, both for preventing sexual assault and also preventing the childhood sexual abuse as well. Very important to have these discussions.
Yeah, I think that's a great place to start. You know, first, I have to say I have all the respect and understanding in the world for people not wanting to have uncomfortable conversations, or if they want to change the channel or something like that with these things. I encourage you, I ask you to keep listening, to fight that urge, to push against that, because part of the problem, part of the reason we are in the situation we are with sexual assault or domestic violence or any of these things, is for decades and decades, all we've done is do that, is hush, mm-hmm. is be afraid to talk about these things. It's so vitally important going forward here in society that we don't let that happen anymore. One of the ways that, you know, I have listeners ask from time to time, what can I do to help? What can I do to support? I don't have the money to donate and that kind of thing. I work a 9-to-5 job. I'm not able to come by and stop and help out with things. One of the biggest things you can do, and every person in society can do this, is doing what me and Jess are doing right now, talking about this subject openly, open-minded, and at a good level, you know, not hushed voices and that sort of thing. And consent is one of those topics, too, where under the umbrella of you know, these topics that we talk about with the Family Center, this is one of the ones that is the most, I think, most sensitive, or if not the most, one of the most sensitive ones to talk about here. So I really do appreciate you getting into this with us, Jess. And let's just kind of start with the word in general, what consent actually is.
Sure. So at its very basic level, consent is simply the permission for something to happen. So you're giving permission for someone to do something. And today we're talking in the context of sexual assault. But I really believe that, you know, there are predators in the world who are out there to do bad things, and that's horrible. But I also believe that we are just not taught what consent means. We're not taught from a young age, you know, what that really looks like. So I think it can be hard for people to know how to actually go about that when they're having an encounter, how to ask for what they want, how to say no, how to be open about those things, because we're just not taught it, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can just go through, kind of break down that a little bit,
yeah.
If that's okay.
I think that'd be great.
Sure. So the number one thing is that in an encounter, consent is freely given. That means that there's no pressure. You're not being guilted into doing something that you don't want to do. It's also reversible, which means that you can take it back at any time, even if you're right in the middle of something. Don't be afraid to say, you know, I'm not feeling this. I'd like to stop now. And it's informed, which means that nothing is implied. Even if you're married, even if you've done these things before, nothing is implied. You should ask every time to make sure that person is okay with it. And it's also enthusiastic, which is really important. You know, partners should be excited about what they're doing. They shouldn't be apprehensive in any way. And it's also specific. Again, asking every time, not assuming that something's okay just because you've done it in the past. As we know, attitudes can change, your mood can be different, your wants can change as well. So just keeping those components in mind.
You know, and again, I know it can be uncomfortable and a little bit of an awkward area and everything, so I'm just going to be a little blunt. If you are being physical with somebody, you should be paying attention to them. You should be paying attention to if they are enjoying themselves and those sorts of things. I would hope that you are. And that tells you a lot right there. And asking the question, while it may be an awkward question and uncomfortable, it also can be a bit of an icebreaker and a bit of a kind of just a funny little, you know, sweet moment for you and the person that you're with and everything. Or it could be a moment where you realize, okay, this situation is not going the direction that I thought it would. We have to change gears. We have to change direction now. It's an important thing that you bring up there about consent, that the consent can change from moment to moment. Every single person on this planet has been doing something that we maybe new or something that we haven't done a lot before, and we are in the middle of it, and we're like, you know what? No, this isn't for me. I thought that hopscotch would be my thing. It's not my thing. I can't jump to save my life. It's not what I'm going to do.
Yes.
We've all been there before. This is no different. I think that I know quite a few guys that have been in the situation where they think a girl they're into a girl or something like that. They kiss and realize there's nothing there. There, you know, so it wouldn't be awkward for the guy to say to that girl, you know what, I don't think that this is going in, you know, I think we should just be friends or something like mm-hmm. that wouldn't be that far-fetched. It's no different the other way around.
Exactly, yes. And also kind of to jump off of what you're saying, this isn't awkward. Like, it doesn't need mm-hmm. to be an awkward discussion. You know, you should be having these conversations not in the heat of the moment also, again, just to normalize these discussions and that it's okay to be talking about these things in general, you know, no matter what kind of relationship or partnership you're in, that person should, you know, kind of be aware of your needs and your wants. And also something you said earlier about being aware of if your partner is enjoying themselves. It's really important to read body language. Like, a lot of times you'll hear that no means no and yes means yes. But a lot of things can mean no, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, being unsure can mean no. Being drunk or unresponsive definitely means no.
Mm-hmm.
Silence means no. So just being empathetic and reading a partner's body language. I think it's pretty clear when somebody's not having a great time, and the activity should probably stop at that point.
Yeah, being an adult comes with certain responsibilities, and this is one of them. You know, it's not something to, just because we can all have sex doesn't mean that there isn't a responsibility to it. There isn't some, you know, understanding to it. It's one of these things where it's a thing with a societal thing that we have to take with some, you know, weight to it and everything. And these are part of the different levels of that and different layers of it. Its components, and when it comes to the components of consent and practicing it, you've touched on a couple of really important parts of that.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if we can kind of expand a little bit on some of that too, because I think that you hit on a point early on, and I want to make sure that we can touch back on this when we can. It's not so much that people don't understand what consent is. Understanding how to teach it, understanding how to kind of share that knowledge and that sort of thing. That's because so many of us were, almost every generation before us was raised one way, and that next generation wanted to kind of improve that.
Right.
And so we've been building on this for a long time. And by the time it got to, like, my parents teaching me, my parents were raised, they were taught the birds and the bees in the most, you know, basic way possible, shortest conversation humanly possible there could be. Whereas my parents, they tried to be a little more open and understanding about that kind of thing. And then that's the way that, you know, me and my ex were with my kids and that sort of thing. So we're learning. It's growing pains that we're going through, but we got to get there. And one of the ways we get there is having these topics and not being shy about it, being open about it. It's so vital, not just for, because every parent wants their kids to be able to talk to them and share with them, you know, but if they're going through a hard time or they're unsure about something, you want your kid to be able to reach out to you. So they're going to be a little more inclined to do that if you have these conversations early on and you open the dialogue and they know, okay, we've already talked about this. I can talk to mom and dad about it. And just as importantly, those kids are going to have kids. And you want them to be able to raise those kids with a certain way. Something that I talk about with my son, my other you know, friends of mine that are raising men, it is so much on us as men to make sure that the next generation is handling things better. And the generation after that is.
Yes, definitely.
So the importance of understanding how to kind of talk about these things, too, and learning a little bit more about that.
Right. And like you said, it's definitely very important to learn what that actually looks like. And at the Family Center, not only do we teach, you know, how to ask for consent, but we also teach about how to have boundaries, because that's another thing that's not necessarily taught in our society too much, is that it's okay to not want to do something. It's okay to say this is exactly what I want. So it goes on both sides, you know, no matter what gender you are, is being able to ask, but also feeling comfortable enough to say no and to ask for what you want and need.
Yeah, I think that's something that we're almost born not wanting to do that kind of thing. And it's something that we have to kind of take on, that we have to do.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it's okay to stand up for yourself.
Definitely.
It's one of those things where we're kind of, especially in America, I noticed talking with friends of mine in other countries and everything, we're just raised to you know, walk it off. you know, no matter what it is, we're supposed to walk it off. We're just supposed to take it and keep moving and be tougher and, you know, that kind of thing. And it's not a matter of toughness. It's not a matter of any of those things. It's a matter of not only your own self-respect for yourself and self-worth, but others having some self-respect for you and vice versa, you respecting them and that kind of thing.
Right, I agree. And it takes practice, right?
Yes, yes.
This doesn't just, you know, like I said, it's a learning curve, I guess, and it really does take practice. And to practice having boundaries and asking for consent, even in activities that don't involve sex as well.
And let me tell you, to any, especially parents out there, but to anybody that is, you know, gearing up and getting ready to have that conversation or conversations like this with their kids, feel free to practice. Feel free. I practiced in the mirror for a good hour before I was ready to talk to my son about this kind of stuff or anything like that. And we have a really open relationship. It's one of those things where don't, you know, be comfortable with this topic and these words yourself too. And sometimes, you know, I know this sounds silly, but just talking to yourself or talking with, you know, like-minded people or other parents that are in a situation like this, even talking to your pet, I'm not joking. Like, I'm talking to your family dog or cat, practicing a little bit and getting more comfortable with the dialogue, getting more comfortable with what you're going to say can make you feel that much more relaxed and comfortable in the conversation, which is going to make your child or whoever you're talking to more comfortable and relaxed.
Yes, that's really good advice, to practice it so that it doesn't feel as taboo as people make you believe it is.
There was a time in life where recycling was a taboo, where nobody knew, understood how to, not everybody knew how to recycle and everything. Now every one of us knows. These things can be taught. These things can be put into our society. We can get there. We just got to put the work in.
Yes, definitely.
We're going to take a quick commercial break, but when we come back, I'd like to talk about the importance of consent at any age. And we'll get into that with Jess and our friends over at the Family Center in just a moment, right here on Morning Magazine, AM 1320. This is WFHR.
The Internet is a wonderful resource for kids. But in times like these, the Internet can also increase your child's risk of being a victim of crime. Instruct your child to never give out personal information, like their name, address, or school name without your approval. Teach them about frauds and scams that often appear as friendly emails or offers that are too good to be true. Place your computer where you can see what your child is doing. Use software that prevents access to inappropriate sites and chat rooms. Teach your child what to do if they come across such sites or receive solicitations from strangers. Learn how they're using the Internet and how much time they're spending on it. Let's keep our kids as safe in the cyber world as we try to do in the real one. Visit ncpc.org to learn more about how we can protect our children. That's ncpc.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Justice, National Crime Prevention Council, and the Ad Council.
Whether you need it to cool off after a workout or warm you up in a hot bath, your tap water is there when you need it. It is even used to produce your morning coffee, the clothes you wear, or cleaning the fruits and veggies you like to snack on. Your water utility works hard around the clock to ensure high-quality drinking water is there when you need it on demand. To learn about your water's journey from source to tap, contact your local water provider. Visit drinktap.org to learn more. This message is brought to you by the American Water Works Association.
Here's your forecast from the WeatherEye Weather Center.
For today, we'll have mostly cloudy skies with a chance for showers and storms. High temperatures working up into the mid-50s. Then for tonight, more showers and storms likely, a low of 43. Into your Wednesday, a lingering chance for some showers there with upper 50s for highs. And for your Thursday, a chance for some showers, especially through midday, or back into the lower part of the 60s. From the Weatherology Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Michael Carroll.
47 in Stevens Point and Marshfield, 48 in Wausau, 49 in Wisconsin Rapids, where you have the morning hour, a morning magazine, I should say. We're joined by Jess from the Family Center, and thanks again for being with us, Jess.
Yep, thanks for having me again.
We've been very fortunate. We've been able to talk with our friends at the Family Center a number of times this month in April, as April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month, and kind of wrapping up our conversations for now, for this month at least. And Jess, one of the things that we're talking about today is, well, the main topic is consent and the layers of that. And one of those layers is the importance of consent at any age. And you touched on this a little bit earlier. When we think of consent, we immediately think of kids, teenagers, that sort of thing. This goes down the gamut, though, no matter what age you are. This applies. And it also applies whether you're married or not.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And like I said, unfortunately, sexual violence is something that can happen to anyone of any gender during any age. I wish that wasn't the truth, but it is. But one of the most important ways that we can prevent that is from teaching consent at a very early age, as little as, babies, which maybe parents listening to this might feel like it's a little bit of overkill. But again, this doesn't need to be an uncomfortable discussion. It can really be an everyday sort of lesson in every activity, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it does. I think that's well said, actually. And it speaks to what we're talking about here. I'm not saying that when your child is 6 months old having this conversation, obviously, but the younger you start on these things, the more comfortable you and your child is going to be with this topic, and the more comfortable they're going to be going forward, whether they're when they're a teenager and they have questions or they have concerns, or even as an adult, they're able to reach out to you as a parent. And I don't know a parent in the world that doesn't want their kid to reach out to them if they have questions or if they need them.
Right, right. And here at the Family Center, we have tons of resources that we can provide to caregivers if they're looking to start these conversations or just be aware of consent and prevention of childhood sexual abuse. But one of the most important things that I talk about with caregivers is that children have just as much control over their own bodies as an adult does. So a lot of times you'll hear parents say, go give your grandfather a hug, like you have to give your grandfather a hug. And I would really encourage caregivers to ask the child, do you want to give a hug? Can I have a hug from you? And if they say no, then that's okay. A no is okay. Or maybe a high five instead. That really teaches children that they do have control over their bodies. And once they've learned that, it carries over into their teens and adulthood.
Mm-hmm. That's really insightful, Jess. That's really good. I hadn't thought about that one before. That's interesting. And it speaks to what we're talking about here, that the comfortableness with this topic and being comfortable with your own self and your own body and everything. That same conversation can go the other way, too, where they're like, yes, give me a hug, that kind of thing. They're just kids having an opportunity to find these things out about themselves as well. And I thought of something else as you're talking about that, and you've mentioned a number of times some of the things that the resources that the Family Center has for people. You don't have to do this alone. You're not alone in this. Now, maybe it might just be you and your little one having this conversation when it comes right down to the conversation. But going into that conversation, you've got resources. You've got people that got your back. If you're unsure where to even start with this or what to say, reach out to the Family Center. They're there for you. We have a great resource in this area, and it's right there.
Yes. We encourage people to reach out. We're not uncomfortable having these discussions, so if you want somebody to be a sounding board, we can definitely do that.
And we thank God for that. We really do. I'm so appreciative of you and everybody over there. One of the other things that I wanted to touch on as we're talking about kind of into this topic of age and consent and that sort of thing, one of the things I've learned about being a board member at the Family Center that I wasn't very good about, and this is, it's a little silly in a way, because I am somebody who was sexually abused at a young age, and I'm a man, but I don't think about that often. I focus so much on women and women being affected by this, and these stats are there of why I do and that sort of thing, but it's important to mention, and again, I give a big tip of the hat to the Family Center for this. It's a reminder that this, men can be on the other side of this as well, and to keep that in mind, that guys, we're raised that we're always supposed to be ready, we're always supposed to want it, and that kind of thing. It's all right if you don't. It's okay if you don't, and you don't have to go through with it. And men can be, a victim of sexual assault just as, almost statistically, almost just as likely as women.
Yes, and I'm glad you mentioned that there is this societal expectation that people who are men or identify as male, that they should just want it all the time. Like, we see that in movies, in media, and all of those things, and it's just not true. You're entitled to say no or to not want something just as much as anybody else is. And there's no shame in not wanting it either.
And that shame word, that is something that I know I hung on to my whole youth, and why I wouldn't talk about what happened to me and those sorts of things, and my pride. I thought, well, I'm a man. I'm not supposed to let that happen to me and that sort of thing. Well, guys, women feel very similar to that. It isn't as if women don't have pride. It isn't as if women don't have some, you know, self-worth and that sort of thing. And it's, well, we talk about sexual assault survivors and sort of that kind of thing. And you hear this all the time of, well, why did they wait so long to come out and say this or something like that? They're struggling with the same things that we do. They're just braver than us in some cases. And I give a lot of credit to that. It is not easy to do something like that. It takes so much. It took me decades to get to that point. And it takes a lot of people time to be able to do these things. Shame and pride get in our way all the time. And this is one of those things, whether we're talking about telling people about something that happened to you or just talking about this conversation with consent. We can't let shame and pride get in the way, especially going forward here as a society. We've got to talk about these things. We've got to be more open with these things.
Yes, and we just appreciate you so much for shedding so much light on this topic and for sharing your own story as well, because it really does encourage more people to have these discussions and to come forward if they're needing help. So we appreciate that so much.
Well, I lost a bet with Debbie early on, and now I have to. No, I'm just kidding. You're trying to find those light moments here. What I'm talking about here, too, it kind of leans into what I wanted to wrap up with you about, and we've touched on this a little bit already, in teaching children about consent at an early age.
Right. And again, like I said earlier, you know, that children don't owe their affection to anyone, just like an adult wouldn't. So respecting the boundaries of children as well. And then just a couple of other tips for teaching that. Using the correct language for body parts, that can feel uncomfortable with children as well, but it really gives them the right language to explain, you know, how to say no and what's happening if God forbid something is happening bad to them. And then also model it as an adult. You know, obviously consent can be a lot of different things even outside of sexual encounters. So again, showing your child that you do ask for permission before you give them a hug. Also things as simple as, like, if you're changing a diaper, explaining to your 2-year-old, okay, you know, I'm gonna wipe you now, like I'm gonna put your diaper on, which again might sound like overkill, but it really is helping that child to understand that that they have control over their body and they know what's happening step by step.
It's everything that we learn takes practice, takes reps. You know, we don't learn to tie our shoelaces immediately. We got to do it a couple of times. We don't even learn how to speak right out the gate. We've got to learn these things. We've got to learn how to spell our last name and all this stuff. This topic isn't any different. It takes time. It takes work. And sometimes it may seem like, you know, as you say, overkill. That if you're feeling that, that's a good feeling. That's a good feeling. That means you're doing this right. Because we're all doing, this is something new. This is something, what we're trying to do here is revolutionary. We're trying to change society. We're trying to make it better. And that takes work. That takes some uncomfortableness sometimes, some awkwardness. And that's okay. It's okay. In fact, it's something that you may, especially you and your child, I know this, it's like this with my kids, where it's something that becomes a light moment that we're able to not so much joke about, but kind of like, you know, tongue in cheek joke about a little bit as we're older. And to this day, you're able to have these conversations. I can walk into my parents' house and talk about literally any subject under the moon with them because of having these early conversations when we were kids. And yeah, they were a little awkward. You know, I'm not going to lie, they were. But I'm so thankful that we did have them. And it's important to be able to do these things. We all want the best for our kids. We all want our kids to have a better world and a better life than we did. And this is a part of that. This is one of the ways to get to that.
Yes, and it's all about building those relationships with children as well. No matter what kind of adult you are in their life, if they have someone that they can trust and that they're safe with, that is very, very important.
And Hannah, I know we only have a minute left. Jess, I'm sorry. We only have a minute left, so I apologize to bring up something that we should probably take an hour on. But this is something, too, where at any age you can still have these conversations. Now, certainly if your child is older, they may already know about the birds and the bees. But talking about what consent is and that sort of thing, that's a conversation at any age you can have. It's never too late.
Yes, exactly. And again, if you need resources on this or information on how to start the conversation, please give us a call. The Family Center's number is 715-421-1511.
And that is available 24/7. If you're able to donate or looking to help out the Family Center, volunteer, those sorts of things, you can always give them a call at 421-1559 and email them at communications@familyctr.org. Encourage you as well to follow their social media. Follow them on social media. It's a great follow, especially on Facebook. And you can find out more information as well by going to their website, familyctr.org. Jess, please say hi to everybody over there. Thank them for us. Thank you so very, very much for getting into this topic with us today. And we appreciate all the work that you guys do over there. Stay safe and strong.
Yeah, thank you again. Take care.
You too. We'll talk soon.
Right.
Again, a big, gigantic thank you to our friends at the Family Center and the work that they are doing for us. We appreciate you. We're going to take a break. We'll get to CBS News. We'll have more Morning Magazine for you tomorrow right here on AM 1320. This is WFHR.
COVID treatment.
Pfizer is testing a single pill to treat COVID-19. According to the Telegraph, the at-home treatment taken